Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Even as Abigail handled this by acknowledging, by sympathizing, by accepting, and lastly, she was promising to help.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
Even as we are this month finishing out 12 different portraits of who God is, that God's our healer, and those of you that have not been with us, all of these are portraits of who God is to us. In essence, our iPod, our individual portrait of deity. And I hope that this has been encouragement to you as starting in August, we'll be starting a whole new theme, and we will present that to you very shortly. Today, I want to talk about the topic of what to feed an angry man, subtitled, How to Work Through Conflicts. How do you work through conflicts when they come? 1 Samuel 25 is a little snapshot, as I mentioned earlier, about the life of David. And just a quick overview, as we've done the last few weeks here, in the life of David, we started with it being 15 years old, that he was selected by God to become king. We also talked about the slaying of the giant and what catapulted David into leadership at 16, and then the start of his public leadership when the reality was he was serving the king, and then misjustices and misunderstandings, insecurities and fears put him in a place that he's now being shaped in the wilderness. And we're coming to the end of that time period. As David here is being shaped in the wilderness, getting close to, as he doesn't know this, heading into the kingship. He's probably 28, 29 years old. He's been out in the wilderness with 600 men in his own way, being shaped by God, being prepared for the throne. Look at 1 Samuel 25, because I think you'll end up finding this to be helpful to you today. And really, this is just an illustration. I like to really start with illustrations in our messages, but this message is about an illustration of what is New Testament truth, because New Testament reaffirms this topic today. Have you ever seen somebody that just loses it? This is what happened to David. And I'd like to look at the story in three very simple parts. Let me give you three characters, the primary characters, and let me give you the characteristics of each one of these. Because if you are breathing and living today, I promise you, sometime along the way of life, you will need to be reminded of this truth. Let me give you, first of all, the character of Nabal, because I put it as the absurdity by Nabal, or in other words, this was the provocation. And the fact is, the story develops like basically a one-act play unfolding a few scenes. It was common practice and custom that when the sheep were sheared, the owner of the lot would pay a portion of his profit to those who had protected his shepherds. And this is where you end up finding this man. And notice verse 2, there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep and 3,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel, and the name of the man was Nabal. And the name of his wife was Abigail. She's the second character. She was a woman of good understanding, beautiful countenance. The man was churlish and evil in his doings. Basically, he was an idiot. Verse 4, and David heard the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And I won't read verse 5 through 8, but you end up finding this is where David sent his 10 young men out, and he took care of me, protected these sheep shearers from others that would come in and try and steal the wool and steal the sheep and attack the men, and he protected them all. And that's what you end up finding what happens in verse 9 when David's young men came and they spoke to Nabal and said, according to the words, and the custom really was to pay them for this, that Nabal answered David's servants and said, who's David? And David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told all these sayings. It was absurd. It was foolish. In fact, his Nabal's own name, as we find out later by his own wife, means fool. He lived his life as if there were no God. He was stubborn, wealthy, harsh, dishonest in his dealings, a lousy husband, and selfishness was at the core. That was Nabal. And that's why you end up finding, secondly, not just the absurdity by Nabal and the provocation, but you end up finding the anger that was expressed by David. In other words, he was passionate about it all. Unfortunately, you find David expressing of his anger, as Redpath says, never act in a panic. Because look what you find in verse 13. David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And here's David now so torqued because of some idiot that he's ready to start World War III. David's anger has three characteristics, which is so common when this shows up. First of all, you find it to be very sudden. That's what you find in verse 13. I mean, you want to talk about a quick reaction. It was very sudden. Number two, it was severe. I mean, he was planning murder. And number three, this is also in the Hebrew, it was really stupid. I mean, this could have cost David his kingdom. Notice number one, just a simple advice, Bible counsel. You say, hey, Pastor, you identified the anger. What do we do? I'll give you three thoughts. Number one is, as David did, the cautions, ignore petty disagreements. Really, that's what scriptures talk about. Just ignore petty disagreements. Good night. Don't end up getting so upset about something so minor. And so often is the case, it's the little things that end up bothering us. And as Proverbs 17:14, you could also put Psalms 119:165, great peace of they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Number two, just a simple thought, avoid friendships with angry, prone people. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man. You say, I keep getting angry. Check your friends. Are they reacting that way or that they're that way? Then you know what? That's the people you need to end up limiting yourself from because they're not helping you. Thirdly, simple advice and counsel from Scripture. Lastly, control your tongue and do it with honesty. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know what you need to do? Walk away. A soft answer turns away wrath. And I'm going to tell you, this is so critical because David here avoids and ignores all that counsel and finds himself in a place that was so, so important to the point that God, here we are years later, having this documented, which, by the way, I find to be that anger is one of those areas that becomes such a smoldering sense of resentment in so many teenagers' heart. They'll end up taking one long moment like this, and so many parents that do end up blowing up and clamming up, but as good Christians will say, you know what, I need to clear this up, and they will end up clearing it up. And yet that child so many times will hold on to that and become that small pinprick that becomes that point of bitterness that springs up and troubles many. And I would encourage you, in our own families, these are the times in which this shows the real reality of who Christ is. And just as we read early in the New Testament, he's saying, put that away. Just as a coat that you take off and then you put on a new coat, you take that off. Say, God, this was not right and I'm clearing this up. And then you're going to act in kindness. And that's where God ends up blessing. And we will end up seeing in the life of Abigail. In a book and commentary by Dr. Boyce, he quotes a simple story by Cecil Osborne, tells a woman who told her marriage counselor she hated her husband. And she not only wanted to hate him, but she wanted to divorce him, and she wanted to make his life miserable. Well, this marriage counselor said, hey, here's a plan. Shower your husband with compliments. Overwhelm him with kindness. Indulge his every whim. And then make him realize how much he needs you. And then start divorce proceedings. Well, he said it's going to wipe him out. And so the lady decided to try the plan. 6 months goes by. She comes back and sees her counselor. He says, well, how did it go? Are you ready to divorce your husband? Oh, no, she said. I've followed your advice. And you know what? We've never been happier. I love him with all my heart. I mean, if your marriage is not what it ought to be, then someone has to take the initiative to try to make it better. There's what Abigail did, and so you can, when your marriage experiences the worst of times, you do the best of things. And if you are a born-again child of God, I promise you, you are the one that God's called to do that. Some of you are in marriages in which it's a mixed marriage, or it's a situation in which your mate is unsaved. You know, the best thing you can do is show the unconditional agape love of Christ and allow God to use that. Even as Peter in 1 Peter 3 takes the advantage and says to the wives, listen, you be that one to call him as Lord. You say, you don't understand. You don't know my set of circumstances. I'm sure I don't. I'm thankful for a godly wife. But that doesn't change the points and the facts that the only way that God's going to allow to be able to work is going to be through your life. And that's why you find the illustration of Abigail, who Abigail expressed that appeal. And she did it as a peacemaker. There was a plea here. You say, well, I don't know how to handle angry men. I don't know how to handle angry people. Let me give you four basic principles. You see it right in the response here as we close today in the life of Abigail. It's really an encouragement because Abigail, her own name means whose father is joy. And this definition no doubt gives us the picture of this life lived with showing kindness, thoughtfulness, generosity, foresight, and beauty, inner and outer beauty. And Abigail now, as you find in verse 13, when this young man told Abigail how that Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness, verse 14, to salute our master. And he railed on him. And the men were very good unto us. And he begins making the report to Abigail what took place. Notice verse 18, then Abigail made haste. Abigail began to act in kindness. And it's amazing to me, and the Bible does not give any extra reasons why Nabal and Abigail, what great contrast, how in the world that happened. I would suggest to you probably there was not much dating in that day. I doubt that Abigail said, oh, let me look for a godly man. Oh, here's one. Look at Nabal. What a good man. I think I'm going to marry him. Mom, Dad, can I marry him? We're going to go out for a while, you know, and then eventually get engaged, take a lot of pictures together and stuff like that. And then, wow, hey, yeah. That had not happened. Most likely, her father, his father, connected together, put up a dowry, and bam, here you go. You got some idiot married to a beautiful woman. What a deal. He continues to be an idiot. Some of you have businesses. You have businesses. You have idiots come in your business all the time. How do you deal with them? How do you end up handling a problem? How to work through conflict? Notice what she does. First of all, she acknowledges there's a problem. Notice secondly, she sympathizes with them. And she's sympathizing. She's expressing, I know there's problems here. She's ringing the bells. She's blowing the whistles. She's got a sense of urgency. She does accept responsibility, thirdly, and appeals for reprieve. Even as Abigail handled this, by acknowledging, by sympathizing, by accepting, and lastly, she was promising. She was promising to help, and she was promising to change. Hey, you know what? You want to deal with people, do it as soon as possible, ASAP. You know, it's a great, simple little acrostic, because for most businesses, you would end up doing so much better if you deal people this way. But so often is the case, it doesn't happen. We just fuel it. We just egg it on. And I don't care whether it is between in a school setting, in a classroom, or whether at home, or whether at business, so often this is missed. And it is not what Christ wants.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.